It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Realtors Association estimates that Wisconsin needs to build 140,000 new housing units in the next 4 years to keep pace with demand. The real estate company Zillow says the country as a whole needs almost 5 million more homes than currently exist.
Communities large and small all over Wisconsin are grappling with a housing shortage. Green Bay recently took some steps to relax its zoning codes to try to make it easier to build certain types of housing.
In just a bit, we'll talk with the head of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority to see what the state is doing about the housing shortage. But first, a look at Green Bay's approach. John Leroy is zoning administrator and senior planner with the city of Green Bay. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Zoning codes are vast. They, describe in minute detail how people can use land in a municipality. With this recent revision, what problem is Green Bay trying to address?
Yeah, we're trying to address affordable housing. Recently, the city passed our comprehensive plan update called the 2050 Go Big Green Bay Plan. And with that, city staff and consultants spoke with thousands of folks, residents, community stakeholders, neighborhood folks who brought up a number of different challenges and goals to achieve here in the next two decades. And one of the more pressing issues was affordable housing. With that, some of the key identifiers that were known were to look at working with developers and property owners to redevelop underutilized and vacant housing sites, an attempt to try to promote higher residential densities, to create ADUs or accessory dwelling units, and to modernize the existing code to facilitate missing middle housing, expand mixed use, and encourage gentle density in our neighborhoods.
So what does that look like when you've got additional types of housing able to be in the mix, like ADUs, as you mentioned? You've got smaller lot sizes. You might have a little bit taller buildings. What could that mean for Green Bay?
Yeah, so the code had about, let's say, 100 different changes that were passed by the Common Council now about 2 weeks ago. And some of those larger things that would affect folks on a day-to-day basis would be issues that would be for permitted uses and conditional uses. If something's permitted, it means that by right, that use could happen on your property. If it's conditional, it might mean that you'd have to go through for approvals with the Plan Commission and Common Council. We're trying to streamline some of those processes. So some of the use regulations that are now updated would include the idea of two-family homes, both upper, lower, and side-by-side, being permitted by right to folks who happen to be in what, for the city of Green Bay, is considered our R1 low-density residential district. That's what you typically see if you were to be walking or driving around the city. That's your typical neighborhood. So those type of uses would be permitted by right. Additionally, as a conditional use, allowing for ADUs to be built in folks' backyards, and potentially allowing for three or four family units to be built in R1s with conditional use. Those types of uses would still require approvals by the Plan Commission and the Common Council, and they have to go through a number of what are called land use development standards. But those are different housing options that can help meet the need for missing middle housing in the community. And those options are offered to try to increase density without dramatically changing neighborhood character. It addresses the housing shortages that we have both in Green Bay and the state and elsewhere, and tries to get the demand for walkable living into a neighborhood with an option to create smaller units or maximize existing improvements on a parcel that happens to already be smaller by hopefully lowering land costs.
But building an ADU can be really expensive for a homeowner. Is that a reasonable way to increase housing in the city?
Oh, understandably, yeah, it wouldn't be necessarily a cheap option for folks. This is trying to offer to folks out there more opportunity to try to explore more ideas that somebody could implement into their own personal property, or if they were a developer, if your lot happens to have the amount of space to where, yes, you'd be putting up a significant upfront investment, you would be both as a property owner potentially having an income source for you with the ADU, and offering to the public in general a potentially a lower cost solution to still live within a typical neighborhood.
So when you look at duplexes or, you know, three or four unit multifamily buildings, has there been demand for this type of housing that the city has been rejecting?
So for duplexes, there's definitely demand that has been out there for folks. And it's not as though the city has been rejecting it per se, but it's the administrative burden that has come into play in the past with duplexes in our typical low density neighborhoods being a conditional use. With the updated zoning code changes, two family homes would now become permitted by right. There are still land use development standards that come into play with this as a use, but this would make it an easier process for folks who are looking to create duplexes or two families on a lot. For three and four family units, we haven't had too much from folks asking for necessarily putting up three or four units on a lot, but I'll note in part, I think that's because the code outright did not allow for that to happen in the past. So it wasn't something that folks were necessarily asking about. When it came to ADUs, while that was primarily not allowed in past code, I think because of popular shows on, say, HGTV, it just became part of the overall public consciousness that this is a thing we've seen in other places. Why can't we do this here? And while three and four units are definitely a thing that have happened in other communities, maybe it just wasn't as glamorized in things like social media or through a TV show.
You know, as we wrap up here, John, housing doesn't go up quickly. I would imagine these are changes that will have to really infiltrate over time. What other changes can Green Bay do to look at creating more housing more efficiently and quickly?
Right. So part of our basis for when we're examining the code changes was referring back to a study that was done in 2020 that's referred to as the Green Bay Housing Market Study. And with that, there were goals by the year 2040 to create between 3,300 and 7,400 rental units and 4,000 to 9,000 owner-occupied units. And I'd say right now, as we are in 2025, we're meeting those standards, but we want to exceed that. We want to make these housing changes or affordability changes to where people can make houses and units quicker than what they have here now. You know, a lot of the standards that we put forth with this, as far as, say, dimensional regulations to where we've shrunk lot size minimum requirements, they're just that, they're minimums. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that folks have to have a lot size that is smaller, but they have the option. And that's what we're trying to provide here is, with these code changes, to have more opportunities for more options for either a person who's a developer and looking to make, say, a new plat, or if you're just an individual homeowner who's looking to maximize opportunities on their existing parcel.
John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That is John Leroy, the zoning administrator and senior planner with the City of Green Bay. Now let's bring in Elmer Moore Jr., CEO and executive director of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, or WEDA. Elmer, thanks for being here.
I'm delighted to get a chance to talk to you again.
Communities all over Wisconsin are struggling with how to provide more housing. Can you explain the role of WEDA in creating more housing?
Absolutely. You know, WEDA is our state's housing finance agency. So we are one of roughly 57 housing finance agencies across the country. What we do is create and provide the necessary products to make homeownership and the development of rental housing possible for families that earn low and moderate incomes. We do that in four ways. We offer mortgages to families who earn less than 140% of the area median income. So these are folks with good paying jobs, but not necessarily making the incomes necessary for the outrageous cost of homeownership these days. We are also the state's exclusive administrator for housing tax credits. So using state resources and federal resources, we offer tax credits that make it possible for developers to build housing that will be offered to folks at restricted rents. We also do lend money to those developers. And we finally have a compliance function. We make sure that the housing that we finance is operating up to the spec that folks deserve.
Have there been financial challenges for developers to get these, you know, larger housing units up in communities, especially in rural, more rural areas?
It's been an increasingly difficult challenge across the country and certainly in Wisconsin for the last, frankly, two decades nearly. The cost of construction, the cost of labor, materials, and everything else make production of housing units prohibitively expensive, whether that's opportunities for home ownership or rental housing. So what we're seeing is it's often very difficult for developers to just use a loan and tax credits to actually make rental housing that will actually pencil out and operate profitably. You know, we thought this was a story that would end with the conclusion of the pandemic, and it just hasn't. Between interest rates, the supply chain, cost of labor, and so many other factors, it's an incredibly difficult time to develop new housing.
We've had the spotlight here on Green Bay, which is loosening its zoning codes in an attempt to encourage the development of more housing. What do you make of this approach?
You know, I don't know that it's a matter of them loosening their codes. I think it's their decision to reimagine what's possible for the future of Green Bay. And I give them all the kudos. They have provided an excellent example for what communities across the state can do to make the development of housing and the attraction of important workforce participants to Green Bay much more likely. You know, the encouragement of ADUs, the use of gentle density strategies. And I really want to note, John did an excellent job describing all the right practices to make Green Bay the community of the future.
What do you mean by a gentle density strategy?
We often believed that the American dream of homeownership meant having space from your neighbors. It meant living in an island unto yourself where maybe you waved over a 6 foot tall fence, but really we wanted to limit the interaction we have. And what we found is that doesn't actually encourage the pro-social behaviors that make living in a community the rich experience it can be. And it's an expensive use of land. So gentle density encourages more production of housing in smaller spaces. So instead of each house having an acre with lawn on four sides, it's really exciting to encourage folks to build four homes on that same acre and potentially direct them so that they're looking at each other, where neighbors can have those vintage style interactions and borrowing sugar and butter and so on. When you can co-locate that gentle density near amenities, whether it's grocery stores, it's healthcare facilities, education, and jobs, what you do is you reduce the reliance on individual transit. You can encourage the use of public transit, which is, by the way, much more environmentally conscious, and it's more cost-effective for families, and it just makes for a better, richer neighborhood and community experience.
There are places, when you look out across the country, Minneapolis, California, Oregon, have gone even further than what Green Bay is doing, either eliminating or greatly reducing single-family zoning. Should Wisconsin follow suit?
There are so many communities across the state that would benefit from these kinds of zoning reforms. We love to see Green Bay leading the charge. Everyone is going to be closely watching how it impacts the experience of living there. And I suspect that many communities will follow suit, because what they'll discover is by encouraging gentle density, by allowing for ADUs and these important structures called missing middle housing, they can solve a lot of their own problems relative to population growth, rehousing, aging folks that are living in two-story homes that aren't truly accessible for them. and it will increase affordability.
There's this national abundance movement that argues, you know, strict local and state regulations have kept communities from building the developments that they need. And this movement proposes making it easier to put up new housing in places that are really thriving, communities that are booming. How accurate is this narrative, do you think, and this outlook?
I think it's easy to oversimplify what the criticisms of the abundance strategy are. And it is true that in the interest of developing a set of rules that will protect all the necessary factors that encourage the way that we can protect the way that we live, it's easy to make a process overly cumbersome. It's easy to make a process highly inefficient. And so I think really the strongest takeaway from abundance should be, let's use technology, let's use data, and let's use some desire to be more efficient to make processes that serve the people better.
So in your WIDA portfolio, you're doing a number of things to encourage not only homeownership, but also to make development possible. I wonder, where do you see the biggest return on investment now in enabling more housing across Wisconsin in the future?
I love that question. I wish we had hours and hours to talk about the ways that investing in housing can generate really important social returns. The most important thing I want to offer is when we're talking about housing, healthcare, education, and so many other social determinants of health, it's important that we recognize the returns are often in a different form factor. So I don't think we should be talking about the economic returns of, or the financial returns of just housing. I think what we should talk about is the improvements that we expect to see in education, in public safety, in quality of life. There is no instance where the investment of housing has not worked out better for a community.
So you really see all of those things interconnected, education, public safety, somehow all of it goes back to the housing situation.
You know, I think it would be fun to have peers who work in those other sectors. The debate would be, where does it start? Huh. And we'd all be right if we said it started with our issue. We believe that housing, safe, affordable, sustainable housing, is at the very foundation of what people need to thrive. And how we mean that is, if you didn't sleep well, if you woke up cold, if you were battling the elements, how can we expect a child to perform well in school? How can we expect someone to maintain any level of quality health? How can we expect them to perform at work and so on? So yes, we think it starts with housing. It certainly doesn't finish there. And I would respectfully accept the same argument from folks that work in education, health, safety, and so many other different important functions.
Elmer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. And again, kudos to Green Bay. Congratulations on great work.
Elmer Moore Jr. is CEO and Executive Director of the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Earlier, we heard from Green Bay Zoning Administrator and Senior Planner John Leroy, and we've been talking about the housing shortage in Wisconsin and how communities like Green Bay and the state are trying to encourage more workforce housing.